All right. Well, Redneck, I mean, we had a hell of a show tonight, but it's always loud in the temple, and I can never really hear anything other than just noise. But, you know, what did you do for your birthday today? Because it is your birthday, and happy birthday, since we're on the record here.
Oh, well, thank you. Other than getting some free tickets to the temple and getting some free backstage stuff, Dario, he's been a little nicer lately since I've come back. I don't know what the deal is. You know, he did ban me from coming back for almost two seasons, and so it's kind of a surprise that he would invite me back for my birthday. You know, we just had a little bit of a cookout on the trailer. Some guys came over. They had a little bit too many Milwaukee's Best, and it a couple guys passed out right before I got in the car to come get you so we could go to the show tonight. So not all in all, it was just kind of a low-key birthday.
Oh, all right. Well, I was expecting something a little more extravagant, but I did want to actually. I'm sort of responsible for Dario's recent kindness. I gave him some shit about banning you in the first place. I went to him. I asked him, you know, to hook you up for your birthday, and he was kind of hesitant. I'm like, look, man, you banned this dude for all that time for no real good reason. If anything, you should be rewarding this type of passion among the believers, because some of the shit that you pulled. If nothing else, it was indicative of the passion that you bring to the temple. And, Dario, if anyone, should totally appreciate something like that. I think I got through to him because he did give you the hookup. But we'll get into that, I guess, a little later on as we get through this show tonight. Man.
Well, I had to save some energy, too. That's why I didn't want to go all out before the show. I mean, you got to – it's the temple. You never know what kind of running away we might have to do, ducking and dodging. You don't want to go drunk or hung over, or just, you know, you want to eat a well-balanced meal before you go to the temple.
Llamándome, muéstrame el camino que yo voy.
Oh, tú eres el imán y yo soy el metal. Me voy acercando y voy armando el plan. Solo con pensarlo se acelera el pulso.
Oh yeah, ya me está gustando más de lo normal.
Yeah, these temple experiences are pretty radical. Like, I can't imagine what you would do to pregame for something like this. Like, do we go skydiving for lunch? Like, I mean, it's the fucking temple. There's dragons. There's
a lot. You got a carbo load.
Yeah, I guess we got a carbo load, and I guess the proper pregame, considering we are in Kayfabe County and we're in Boyle Heights, which is in California. We did a proper pregame before the show tonight. Me and you, rolled up a little something for your birthday, and we actually hopped up on one of the roofs outside of the temple. It's kind of a cool little view. Boyle Heights is nice this time of year, and so we're just, you know, sitting up there doing our thing, and then all of a sudden you pointed out that Emo Puma was hanging out on the roof across from us, and he was, as CEO would say, if he was here, doing Emo Puma things. But I mean, what did you make of this whole thing? Let's tell the people a little bit about what we saw here.
Well, you know, it looked like he was going to try to jump off the building. You know, with the way things have been going with Puma lately, he's been real emotional. He's been seeing things. Vampiro's been trying to kind of counsel him and kind of work him through these things, but tonight he just was, he's looking like he was wanting to jump and end it all. I that would have been a terrible thing. I was screaming and hollering. I don't think he could hear us from where we were at, because he just looked like he was in a trance. And then Vampiro came out from nowhere again and talked him down off the ledge, and they had a conversation from where they were at, and Vampiro went in, and it's kind of funny because Worldwide Underground was down there watching the whole thing too, and I think I heard PJ Black yelling at Puma trying to encourage him to jump off the building, and then as they walked in, he gave him the finger. So it was quite intense. You know, they had that match later on tonight, so I wonder if Puma took out a little bit of his rage on PJ Black.
Yeah, I'm sure he did, and you know, like you said, it looked like he gave him the finger. I'm sure that didn't help at all. Puma was, when you first pointed him out, he was sort of like spazzing out a little bit, kind of like he was a few weeks ago when he was standing in front of the mirror and he was having that, right before he had that conversation with Rey Mysterio in the back that we happened to be you know, present for when we were going to the bathroom. The temple's just, you know, cavernous.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it is. And we took a wrong turn. We ended up in the locker room instead of the... Whatever. Dario's got to put signs up. But I guess that's the least of his worries when he's running this temple on a weekly basis. Yeah, Vampiro was just sort of there at the right time, I guess. Maybe he talked Puma down. He saved his life. He told him everything's going to be all right. I didn't see them hug it out or anything like that. But Puma didn't jump. And he did compete a little later on in the night. So again, that's something we can get to when the time comes, but we did get our first match tonight. We're still continuing the Cueto Cup, and it's Cage versus Pindar, part of the Reptile Tribe led by Cobra Moon. Cage just, yeah, I mean, this match wasn't a match. Cage just clocks the referee. Pindar wins via DQ. Cage hits the referee with the Falcon Arrow. And that's it. This is the whole match. What'd you think about this to open up the show tonight?
Well, you know, it was kind of my first experience seeing Pindar. I was blown away by seeing Vibora, that giant lizard man, and seeing another giant lizard man. I mean, where are these lizard people coming from? That's crazy. To see two giant lizard people like that in my life is something that I'm just taken aback by. And then to see Cage, the referee wanted him to take that glove off. You know, it's, you can't have foreign objects in the ring. Maybe if it was like a leather glove, maybe, it, you know, but a fully armored fist that can punch through somebody's head, you can't have that out there. And I'm kind of, you know, the referee's really lucky that Cage didn't kill him right there in the ring. A Falcon Arrow was the worst thing that he got. That's very, very lucky.
Yeah, I think Cage maybe showed the referee a little mercy there. Certainly, it could have been worse for him. He normally doesn't wear the gauntlet in the ring, from what I can tell. For the most part, it appeared that in the previous matches we've seen since he acquired it, that he's been taking it off and putting it in the corner, which to me, risky move. Like, somebody's going to come out there and just grab this thing and try and put it on. I've theorized in the past that maybe somebody who's not quite up to the challenge or as strong as Cages might just explode with, you know, the power that this gauntlet may hold, but I guess we'll find out one day. It's going to happen. If he keeps leaving it out there, somebody's going to try and put it on. But Cage is not going to be advancing into this tournament, it looks like, so we'll have to see where him and his gauntlet go from here. There's sort of, you know, this weird dichotomy going on right now in the temple, where you have the people involved in the tournament, and then you kind of got everyone else. And it almost feels like those people have been forgotten about over the course of the last couple weeks because of this focus being on this tournament. But now there's a lot less people in the tournament. There's a lot more people not in the tournament. Eventually, we're going to have to see some of these other these other luchadors and luchadoras do something as we're building up to Ultima Lucha 3 and the big show here with the final. There's going to be something. So who do you think Cage ends up going after or being targeted by next?
Well, I'm actually kind of surprised by Pindar. You know, he got an easy win tonight. He didn't have to expend himself, and you got to think that's a tough tournament that he's in right now. I think he's going up against Puma next, right? Is that the next opponent that he's got?
I think so.
So you got to think about it. We'll get to it later, but Puma had a rough match. And Pindar got out in less than 30 seconds. I mean, he didn't have to expend any energy, really. He got hit once by Cage, I think, the entire match. So, you know, Puma's going to have to be on his toes. He can't be emo Puma. Cage, he's got his demons to deal with. I guess he was a machine that was programmed to kill and destroy. And ever since he's gotten that fist, he's become a killing machine. And I don't know what's going to happen with Cage. I don't really know anybody that can stop him at this moment in time.
Yeah. It looks like Pindar is moving on to face Phoenix in the next round. So that'll be an interesting matchup. And Phoenix, obviously, being a former friend and Trios champion with Drago, heading up against the Reptile Tribe, who has essentially coerced Drago back into their midst. It's going to be an interesting matchup there. Dario, he did it again. This damn matchmaker among matchmakers. He's quite the promoter, Dario Cuervo,
Proprietor. I will say this though, you weren't with us last week when Phoenix got forked by Marty the Moth. We saw Puma have a hard match tonight, but Phoenix had a really, really hard match last week. And now he's had a little bit of time to heal up, but like I said, Pindar is going into this fresh. He didn't have to wrestle tonight, so that could play into to next week. So whenever they actually have their match, and you may see Marty Moth come out and kind of interfere in that match too.
Yeah, it's difficult to tell when you're in Lucha Underground. This is not your typical fighting organization. The medical staff doesn't exactly do press conferences. We don't know exactly how long one is out from a good forking, but we're gonna have to find out. I guess we'll see how Phoenix is looking next week. It may be maybe the official recovery time from again a good forking is 2 weeks.
Oh, maybe he was forked within an inch of his life.
That's forked up.
Yeah, that's really forked up.
Absolutely. All right. Well, poor Phoenix and his fork. Luckily, he's got Melissa Santos, it appears, nursing some of those wounds for him. So he's probably better off than we are at the end of the day.
I would say that, but we did get to go backstage and kind of sit back in a gorilla position, as you would say down in the Lucha Underground. And it just so happened while we were back there, Worldwide Underground was kind of having a meeting before PJ Black's match. And there was a kind of a portly gentleman there who kind of looked like a very shiesty agent type. And he was really promoting hard PJ Black and everybody in Worldwide Underground, even though I kind of find it funny that he didn't know the moves that PJ Black did. Yeah. And he called Johnny Mundo Johnny Monday. That was kind of odd in itself too. I mean, if Johnny Mundo's a megastar all around this world, and for you to call him Johnny Monday, that's a little sketch. But this guy seems like he's got Worldwide Underground's best interest in hand. What kind of vibe did you get from that gentleman?
I got a similar vibe actually. I think this Benjamin Cook is a good influence on these boys and girl. And you know, despite the fact that he maybe slipped up a little bit on Johnny's name, obviously he knows who Johnny Mundo is. It's Johnny Mundo's world. So he was probably just nervous being in the presence of the greatness that is Johnny Mundo. And I'll tell you this, is what clinched it for me as far as Benjamin Cook, the representation. He knew right away Ricky Mandel was just the scrub. Like, he looked right at me and said, maybe not so much you. And that's, he's got an eye, if nothing else, for lack of talent, which means that he probably can tell who's got talent if he could tell who doesn't. But he's a silver-tongued son of a bitch, and I think he's going to be a good influence on the Worldwide Underground. He's going to help them get places. He's going to help them, you know, kind of handle the mundane day-to-day of being awesome. It's hard. I know. I have a couple of assistants myself. But nonetheless, PJ Black wasn't necessarily sold on Benjamin Cook. I can't say I blame him. If you just show up and all your boys are talking to another dude and they're all, like, just, you know, giddy over him, you're kind of like, who the fuck's this guy? So PJ Black, maybe he'll come around on Benjamin Cook. Maybe we'll even find out a little bit more as the night goes on.
Oh yeah, I mean, yeah, he while we were back there, he got called out and had to run out for his match with Puma. And speaking of which, I really enjoy this skinny jean, black shoe wearing, red and black, almost reminds me of the Wolfpack back in the day. I don't know if he's auditioning to be in the NWO. If they're going to bring the NWO to Lucha Underground, I think that would be pretty interesting. But, I mean, the Wolfpack's back.
Yeah, I guess so. He's no longer a Puma. I think I suggested maybe the last time I went to the temple with either you or CJ that perhaps the Puma, in his newfound inner turmoil and angst, that he's now transformed into a different cat. Maybe it is a wolf.
Or maybe it's just a Puma pack. Maybe we'll just get like a stable where it's him and a bunch of guys and like a Puma stable.
I think we need to get this Puma a cougar. I think that'll complete it.
Now, as in a cougar, now would it be a guy dressed as a cougar or just a really hot older lady?
Oh, no, a straight-up cougar.
Okay. Oh, like a real cougar, like an animal.
Yes.
Okay, oh, yeah. Like one big enough he could ride in?
Yeah, but now that you mentioned it, let's have a hot middle-aged lady ride in on the cougar.
All right, okay, yeah, that works.
All right, somebody... next time we talk to Dario, we'll see if we can get this to happen. Maybe Ultima Lucha 3. It seems an appropriate time to showcase such an entrance. But, yeah, so Puma... We got the Puma, we got the Darewolf, PJ Black, in a match tonight. It was really our main event. We'll get back to the other match that occurred a little earlier on between Son of Havoc and Dante Fox, because that was sort of, I feel like it felt like the real main event at the end of the day.
Yeah, it did. Because there was a lot going on. I would rather spend a little more time talking about that one, yeah.
Absolutely. So, yeah, we'll get into Puma versus Darewolf and a lot, you know. Wild animals notwithstanding, this was a spectacular match. A couple things that we can probably try to explain all the phenomenal athletic moves that these guys did, but we wouldn't do it justice. I will say PJ Black's reverse vertical suplex into a squatting dragon sleeper was a spectacular combination of moves. I haven't seen that one in a while. Also, we were sitting kind of close enough to Matt Stryker to where I heard him yell out that one of PJ Black's moves is called the wellness policy. I wonder what that's all about. I don't know.
Well, I mean, we debated that one time if they had mental health coverage. I mean, do they have a wellness policy at Lucha Underground? Is that maybe a jab at Dario because they don't have a wellness policy or some kind of insurance coverage there at the temple?
I feel like there is probably a wellness policy at the temple in that if you are well, you're not allowed at the temple.
Or maybe if you're not on something, you're not allowed at the temple.
That's true.
If you test positive for anything, you're good to go.
Yeah, that's how the Rabbit Tribe got in. They just
of course you can just look at them and tell. He was like, "Y'all come on in."
Yep, they're good. They weren't even required for testing, and you know it's never a problem for us. So we're good. Anyway, yeah, PJ Black, really good. Puma is one of the best that we've ever seen in a temple. He's the first Lucha Underground champion. He's gone all night long. He's battled Mil Muertes in death matches and Graves Consequences matches and done all this awesome stuff. And he's one of the best in the history of the temple and of Lucha Underground. PJ Black doesn't get the win here, but he kept up with him the entire way. I gained a lot of respect for PJ Black, despite the fact he's sort of a dick.
Yeah, he is kind of a dick, but you can't deny the abilities of Prince Puma. I mean, he just that finishing maneuver that he hit him with is the guy can just. It's like when he jumps in the air, he just freezes and just rotates and rotates and rotates. And finally, whenever he wants to land on the ground, is when he decides. Like he tells gravity when he wants to hit the ground. Like it's amazing.
Yeah, it's I've heard it called a 630 senton splash, but I argue that that's all that we can really see. I mean, he is just, he's up there rotating. It's like you said, time stands still as Puma's in the air.
It's got to be greater than a 1080. Greater than a 1080.
Oh, yeah. It's got to be 1080 plus, I guess, maybe another 90. What's that? One, I don't know. I'm not going to try and do math here right now.
So 1170.
1170. There you go. I didn't want to botch that one, but, all right. So nonetheless, PJ Black, like I said, he kept up with Puma here. And for all the greatness that we just uttered about Puma, I mean, he seems to be the most hungry he's ever been. Like this emo thing you could tell it's weighing on him that he hasn't tasted Lucha Underground gold in a while and that he hasn't really been able to overcome some of his demons. And, to me, I'm sure the death of Conan certainly is affecting him still to this day. Vampiro's sort of around. I can't really tell if Vampiro's trying to take advantage of this vulnerable Puma, or maybe if he's empowering him. What do you think the mindset of Prince Puma is at this point? And he's still in the fight here. He's still alive in this tournament, but it just seems like something's either off, or maybe we're seeing this transition into something greater. I can't tell. It makes sense of this for me.
You got to remember, Vampiro is a vampire at heart.
Oh, is that what that means?
Yeah, I mean, you know, so he could be feeding off of Prince Puma, and which is why Puma's going down the road that he's going down. But Puma's not going to give up. Puma's a fighter. And I just don't. Sometimes I don't trust Vampiro. You know, he's great at the announce desk, but I just think he's got his own intentions for the temple and why he's there. I mean, he may even try to take Dario Cueto out at one point in time and try to take over the temple himself. So I would probably say it's probably Vampiro that's causing a lot of these problems with Puma. I think if he was to persevere and get the championship back, he might finally realize that Vampiro, he needs to get away from Vampiro.
Wow, I didn't even consider the Vampiro potentially trying to take over the temple angle, and now I'm just really intrigued, because we also heard Benjamin Cook saying that Worldwide Underground's trying to take this over. We've had Mil Muertes actually take control of the temple for a period of time, but, you know, Worldwide Underground drifting around out there, evil Vampiro with emo Puma potentially taking over. There's a lot of threats to the throne, Dario's throne, that is, in this temple. I guess a threat to the office, in this case, the proprietorship. But, yeah, I mean, Dario Cueto's got a lot on his plate. Running this fantastic underground fighting organization that he has is one thing, but the fact that some of the people that make it great amongst his mitts are trying to take it over, man, I don't know how he handles all this shit, to be honest with you.
Well, what he had to handle tonight in the second match with Dante versus Son of Havoc, you know, the first time I watched Son of Havoc and Son of Madness, I was kind of like, all right, this guy came out of nowhere. He looks just like Son of Havoc. He wanted to take on Son of Havoc. Son of Havoc beat him. And then he kind of went away, and that's a little odd. You know, I think if I was there for a purpose to take you out, I'm not going to just lose to you and then just ride off in the sunset. You know, I'm probably going to bide my time and wait for the perfect opportunity to get my revenge. And as Son of Havoc was coming out tonight to take on Dante Fox, he got jumped from behind by Son of Madness, and he took his jacket from him and just beat him down with a chain. That was a merciless beating. I've seen some beatings like that at trailer parks, at bicycle rallies, all kinds of crazy things like that. And I was worried, and I'm kind of surprised that Dante just kind of sat there and watched, didn't try to come out and help, didn't try to come out and maybe even hurt Son of Havoc there a little bit. I was a little taken aback by the him or the ref didn't try to intervene and help in that situation.
Yeah, it's an interesting dynamic in the temple. Again, it's sort of this weird dichotomy between Dario wants to run a sort of tight ship with this Cueto Cup, but at the same time, kind of anything goes in the temple. So it's where do these two worlds kind of collide? In this case, I guess what was going on happened before the bell and happened outside of the ring, so the ref's not really responsible for any of this. I did actually notice Dante Fox, though, at points. He looked like at first he was kind of enjoying what he was seeing. Then it looked like he was going to, you know, almost wanted to go stop it, and the ref was stopping him, and then he was sort of enjoying it again. I don't really know what his series of emotions he was going through there, why he was so indecisive and how to feel about this, but that was sort of the vibe I was getting from Dante Fox. And like you said, Son of Madness knocks out Son of Havoc with Son of Chain, and Son of Matanza's mama comes out, Dario in this case, and comes out and says that the match is still on as scheduled, so Son of Havoc is going to have to decide whether or not he wants to fight or whether or not he wants to forfeit. Son of a Fox on the offense early on. I'm saying Son of a lot because CEO hates all the Son of Us, so I'm hoping that this will bother him if and when he eventually listens to this. But Son of a Fox on the offensive early in the match, obviously because Son of Havoc is just beat the shit after getting beat down trailer park style, apparently, with the chain. And just so much awesome stuff going on in this match. Dante Fox is a fantastic athlete. Like, he jumps at one point over the ropes, over the ring post, all the way to the outside to Son of Havoc. And it was just, he cleared the ring by another 4 or 5, if not 10 feet. Like, he just completely leapt out of view from where we were.
The power of the temple.
I guess so. It must be amazing just that, I don't know. Maybe if you get beyond that guardrail, we become superhuman. Have we considered trying this?
Maybe it's when you sign the contract to be a lucha fighter in the temple. It's like you, like something with the ink on the paper, you get magical powers, or just you just, the essence of the temple maybe seeps into you somehow, and your powers are, or you know, magnified by some, in some sense.
Yeah, maybe there's like almost I don't know, like a minor league temple somewhere. Like, Dario's got to find these fighters from somewhere. So the fucked up shit that these guys must have gotten to get to this level of underground fighting competition, maybe they all have some sort of mystical power that they've claimed from some other being on some other plane in space and time. Who knows? That with the temple, anything's possible, as we well know. But, you know, the Son of Havoc eventually battles back into this match with the believers getting behind him. A few counters from Son of Havoc, including just a flying body scissors attempt from Fox that was thwarted with just a vicious sort of throw and a shift of weight and of his hips by Havoc throwing Fox into the guardrail. Son of Havoc's kind of catching his second wind, and they're battling back and forth in the ring. Fox is getting a little cocky. He hits a standing Frankensteiner into a pinning attempt at one point, and it looked like he just didn't have the pin all the way, and he probably would have won because Son of Havoc kicks out at 2 and, I don't know, 7/8, 15/16, something along those lines. But Son of Havoc hits a huge Death Valley Driver off from the apron to the floor on Fox, and getting Fox back into the ring, a springboard double foot stomp, and Fox is, you know, hit in the back, and then a standing moonsault from Son of Havoc. There was just insanity going on here, but the match ends with Son of Havoc attempting a shooting star press. Fox evades. He hits the Fox catcher, and Fox wins. Son of a bitch. What'd you think about all this? This match was, like I said, it felt like the main event to me. This was a fantastic match.
Yeah, and to see Havoc fight back from that beating, you know, Dario has been nice to me, and so this isn't me saying this. This is CEO Hay saying this. That son of a bitch, Dario, made Havoc fight when he clearly shouldn't have been fighting. But that, you know, he came through, and he did what he had to do. I mean, granted, he lost, but, you know, I think he won some fans over tonight in the temple, showing the heart that he had fighting back from adversity like that. Dante's got to look over his shoulder, though, because Killshot's there. Killshot knows what Dante did to him in the cup. So Dante's got to watch his back and be really careful about what's going to happen in his next match, because Killshot's always lurking around the corner to get that revenge.
Yeah, and you know Killshot, I mean, from what I understand, he's got some military experience. He's got the whole dog tag thing going on, the Killshot. Imagine he's a sniper, which means he's biding his time, keeping his distance, staying out of sight. You never know when he's going to sneak up and ultimately strike the Fox in this case. But a couple other points about this match or surrounding this match, wanted to get your opinion on. The Fox Catcher, which is Dante Fox's finishing maneuver of sorts, it's like a brain buster with somewhat unnecessary and unbeneficial wrist control kind of thrown into the mix there for almost a different aesthetic. What do you think about the Fox Catcher? And am I describing it right? Am I understanding it properly?
If I'm imagining it correctly, it's definitely a devastating move visually. I've never been put in something like that, so I don't know what it would feel like having been put into it. But those guys look like they get laid out. I mean, it's a finishing move for the most point. I mean, I haven't seen anybody really kick out of it lately.
Yeah, it's a very unique move. I always like to see a unique finishing move. It really leads me to believe that this particular luchador, in this case, is the best at using this move. Like, it's to the truest notion of what the traditional finishing move has been in the history of underground fighting, in that, you know, like it's a maneuver that this particular luchador or luchadora has mastered, and I feel like the Fox Catcher is fitting, obviously, for Dante Fox.
Oh yeah, I mean, and the, you'd never go wrong with, you know, calling your moves after your, you know, naming your moves after yourself. in some sense, or having them tied in with your name.
Yeah. In fact, I've never seen anyone use this maneuver before. So in the future, it will be known as a fox catcher. It'll live on forever. But all right. So I don't know how many experiences you have with biker gangs, redneck. CEO and myself are sort of dumbfounded by all of this, but maybe they roll through the trailer park every so often, or maybe they don't if they know what's good for them. But Son of Madness comes out, and he takes Son of Havoc's jacket. So, I mean, to me, it seems that Son of Havoc, who has been rolling without other dudes that look like him for the entirety of us knowing him, is out of the gang. Like, why does he care that he's lost his jacket and his colors now? I don't know, this is a weird biker gang logic I'm not understanding. What do the rednecks say this?
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, your colors and your jacket's everything when you're in a biker gang. So if having those taken away by either, you know, someone that's in a rival gang or trying to leave the gang, you're not going to leave the gang. They're not going to let you leave the colors. Usually it's one of those you're beat in, you're beat out kind of deals. Clearly, they're making sure that Havoc knows that he's not a part of the gang anymore. I overheard Vampiro and Stryker talking about maybe that he had left the gang a while back and had been traveling on his own, and that Son of Madness might be trying to get revenge on that and get the colors back to the gang.
All right, that actually makes a little bit more sense. Again, don't have a lot of experience with biker gangs, and I don't know. I'm not the most fashionable, but I like to think I dress a little better than the Madnesses and the Havocs of the world. I don't know. It's just not a good look for me. I think he did him a favor, honestly.
Well, I'll say this. Him just coming out, taking the jacket, and hitting him with a biker chain, I mean, that's pretty mild of what some of the things that they could have been doing to him. You know, there's a lot. They could do a lot worse to a man if they really wanted to. I mean, it's the biker gang we're talking about.
Yeah, it's sort of like lightweight shit. I don't know. Compared to the temple, we've seen people, you know, get
it's like a, that's like a slap on the wrist. Like getting hit with a bike, like the metal chain like that, is more or less like the biker's version of slapping you on the wrist. Like next time, it's gonna be probably death or something. You know, something to hold. They're gonna stick the dogs on you.
All right. Yeah. I mean, I'm sort of worried for Son of Havoc from the aspect of, are there more of these Sons Ofs? Like, are there others? I mean, surely they're a gang. Like, it's not a duo, so there's at least one more. Are we ever going to see Madness and Havoc that these boys happen to be the sons of? All of this concerns me, because Son of Havoc is, you know, he seems to be a favorite amongst the believers. I've never been a huge fan, but I kind of like, I don't know, kind of like the guy. He seems like an up-and-up, you know, solid dude all around. And Evil East is nowhere to be found. Haven't seen Angelico in a while. Like, these are his only real allies that we've seen. Maybe Masquerita Sagrada. He is a rabbit king.
Yes, but now, are you trying to say that Dario might try to book Father of Havoc versus Father of Madness?
I'm saying, yeah, at some point we could see Madness and Son of Madness versus Havoc and Son of Havoc in some sort of tag team match.
No, you mean Father of Havoc versus Father of Madness?
No, that would be their grandparents.
Well, that's right. Yeah, I think you're right. You're right about that. Yep. A little yeah.
Although it is Lucha Underground, they're big on trios. So if we can get Father of Havoc, Havoc, and Son of Havoc versus Father of Madness, Madness, and Son of Madness, sign
me up. Have some 90-year-old man out there in a mask with biker gang clothing on.
Just two old dudes swinging walkers at one another. Only in the temple.
Only in the temple. Yep.
Only in America. I don't have a whole lot else to say on this night. We got some interesting Cueto Cup matches. We're moving, you know, we have some of the matchups set for the next round at this point. Like we mentioned earlier, Cage and, Pindar will be taking on Phoenix. Dante Fox will be taking on Prince Puma. There's a lot of animals in that bracket.
Yeah. Puma and Fox is going to be an interesting match. Because, like I said, Fox has been on fire. Puma's looking great, even with the demons that he's got going on. So that could be a very entertaining match coming up in the next couple weeks. And then, of course, we got Mil Muertes versus Jeremiah Crane in the other side of the bracket. So yeah, that's also exciting.
We have that to look forward to as well. Yeah, and I guess the matches that we'll probably be getting next week include Drago taking on Pentagon Dark. And we'll also be seeing the Mac taking on Tejano, two big boys out there slugging it out. And we did find out that there's a third match that's not a Cueto Cup match that'll be occurring next week. You might want to take it from here because it sounds like, you know, this is your story. I don't want to give it away.
Well, yeah. So Dario had invited me down to his office. He had something for me after the show, and while we were down there, he kept getting phone calls. And so he could never really start talking to me because, I mean, every time he'd start talking, the phone would ring and he'd answer it and then he'd hang up and the phone would ring again. He'd answer it and hang right back up. And then next thing I know, PJ Black comes in. And so I'm sitting there off to the side and PJ Black and Dario have this conversation, about how PJ wanted to get back in the cup even though he lost tonight. And Dario said he couldn't help him there, but what he could do is give him a match against the number one contender for the title. And that person would be Rey Mysterio Jr. And then I found out that the man that had been calling Dario all those times was Benjamin Cook, and he'd been saying a lot of great things, trying to help push PJ along with Dario, even though he did lose tonight. And while they were talking, Benjamin Cook called again, and Dario unhooked his phone right there on the desk so he could have his call. I mean, that was probably like the 17th time he called him right there. I mean, this guy, we saw him in the back. He seemed a little sketchy, and that was just a little stalkerish there. I mean, calling Dario as many times as he did. And then so after he got done telling PJ about his match with Rey Mysterio, he got another phone call, but this one was on his cell phone. it was Benjamin Cook again calling him, and then he threw the cell phone down. And he looked at me, and he started talking to me, and he gave me an autographed memorabilia, some of the actual canvas from the ring for my birthday.
Oh, that's awesome.
And, yeah, it's pretty cool. It's got a little bit of Jeremiah Crane's blood on it, which is it's very cool.
How can you tell it's his?
I remember it from the week that we were there the last time when he got a little bloody there.
Okay.
And then while we were sitting there in the office after he gave me this, I got a phone call on my telephone, and it was Benjamin Cook. So I don't know how he got my number, but this man is very persistent in trying to get in touch with Dario Cueto. So I was happy and excited that I got to see all that.
Yeah, I guess, I mean, that's crazy, first and foremost, that you were around to see all of that. Dario Cueto's office must be kind of cool. You'll have to tell me a little bit more about it when at a later date and time. But yeah, if there's anybody that you don't want to annoy, it's Dario Cueto. You know, and it's not even like Benjamin Cook's really bringing anything to the table that's going to help Dario. At the end of the day, we've seen a lot of the luchadors and luchadoras, you know, threaten Dario and rough him up even at times and be annoying or be, you know, against whatever it is that Dario's trying to do in the temple. But if you bring the violence, he's generally going to keep you around because he likes the violence. But unless Benjamin Cook's got some sort of American Psycho thing going on that we don't know about yet, it's not boding well for him. If he keeps annoying Dario, he may just mysteriously disappear, as we've seen others do in the past.
Well, and that's the problem. Yeah, like you said, if you mess with Dario, there's plenty of places for people to disappear in the temple. I mean, we've gotten lost several times, and we've been in the temple plenty of times to know our way around.
Yeah, one of these days, I hope we find out what happened to Alberto El Patron.
Yeah, yeah, he was last seen wandering around somewhere in the temples, and nobody's seen him ever since.
Yeah, a lot of guys have gone missing. As a matter, come to think of it, whatever happened to that guy from the crew? I can't think of his name. He just sort of disappeared.
It was Cortez.
There was Cortez Castro, Mr. Cisco.
Mr. Cisco, that's the one.
And who's the other guy?
Well, see, look, see, he got lost in the temple, and it was completely erased from our minds.
We don't even know his name anymore. And Big Rick, what the hell happened?
Big Rick.
Man, people just disappear. As CEO always points out, and I feel like we should be somewhat obligated to do so, we take our lives into our hands when we go into this temple. When we're rolling into Kayfabe County, we just kiss all that we knew goodbye, because we don't know that we're ever going to see it again.
You know what, though? I think I'm going to have to start a tag wrestler program so that we can keep track of these guys while they're in the temple. You know, just clip them behind the ear. They give them a little tag, so if they do go missing, it won't be hard to find them.
And who knows? Maybe Dario will need to find them one day. We could come in and save the day. Maybe we get better seats at the temple on a consistent basis. That wouldn't be so bad.
Yeah. You need to book a match right now? We know exactly where those two guys are at. We'll go get them for you.
Absolutely. Oh, wow. We can make this work, too. Maybe we can borrow some of these luchadors. I mean, like, I feel like I could do some damage in my real life if I, like, had Mil Muertes following me around. You know what I'm saying?
Or if you could control Cage. Cage just punching holes in buildings, punching holes in faces. Just punching holes in whatever you want him to punch holes in. I mean, it's amazing.
Yeah. No, I'll bring Cage into my boss's office and ask for that raise that I've been meaning to ask for. I think I might just get it.
I would probably give it to you, too. Just seeing that man walk in there with that gauntlet on his fist, I would just giving you bags of money, just stacking them up
maybe,
on the table.
Maybe I sold myself short there. Maybe I'll just ask for ownership of the company altogether. But that's if I would even want it. But that's a whole other story for another day.
That would be a waste of Cage's power just to go in there and ask for preferred parking.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, you'd have to get something, right? If you're going to rob a bank, you don't rob it for $20 kind of deal. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You're not going to take Cage in there and say, no, I'm parking up front now. No, you're going in there to take ownership of the building.
All right. And then I'm burning it to the ground. And thank God we're here in Kayfabe County. I can get away with saying things like that. But we are heading out of the county. Redneck, anything else we have to say about the events that we witnessed in the temple tonight?
No, I mean... From what I'm still kind of reeling from what I saw tonight. Past couple times I've seen people get killed. The last time you and I were on together, I thought I heard Mil Muertes get killed, and he came back to life and wrestled last week. So, anything can happen in the temple, people. I think that's probably what the parting message would be, is this: keep your head on a swivel, because you never know what's going to happen at the Lucha Underground Temple.
This is... Yeah, truer words were never spoken. But just in case, you know, last time I heard, for some reason, CEO had tried to get up in your DMs. Just in case I feel like getting up in your DMs, where can I find you on Twitter?
Well, if you want to get in my DMs, it would be at Wrestling Redneck. That is at RASSLIN Redneck. So get all up in those DMs there, fellow, if you'd like. Hayes got up in there last week.
We learned some things about Hayes last week that I was previously unaware of. Apparently tequila brings out a different Hayes that I didn't even know until last week.
Oh yeah, I'm bringing a bottle of tequila with me from now on whenever I'm hanging out with Hayes, just to get that side to come out of him.
Yeah, it's the truth serum. Well, just in case for whatever reason I spell Wrestling Redneck wrong and you want to DM me, you could DM me at WWPNBello. And that's more or less it. We made it. We made it out of Kayfabe County. We risked our lives, and we did it all for the love of Lucha here on the Wrestling World Podcast Network. Let's say goodbye to the people.
Goodbye, people. Adios, muchachos y muchachas.
Si. And feliz cumpleaños to you again, Redneck. Peace, everybody.
Oh, gracias.